get your tuxes on. It is time once again, believe it or not, for our annual year in review. It's the Tony and Maddie's, everyone. Tony, hope you got a little booger sugar in your pocket because you know how we like to theme these things. It's the 1970s, as far as I'm concerned. This is a big fat award show. We got ruffled tuxes on. Let's go.
I thought you meant because I was going to have an inordinately long list of things to talk about, and you'd need some wake-up juice for that.
I'm sure that's going to happen. This is Rated P for Paranormal. If you're new, we seem to get new people every episode, which excites us both. We thank you for joining us. We do a look back this time every year. We did it last year in January. What we do is we look back at that previous year's movies that we reviewed. I have the list here. So, Tony, we'll get into that. But first of all, I just want to check in before we get to the awards ceremony. How are you? Were you aware of the Golden Globes? I guess there's something called the Golden Globes that happened last night as we record this.
I knew that. I guess I heard that, like, Paul Giamatti won. That's all I know.
Yes, I saw that. Was your brother nominated for anything? He's a big director in Hollywood.
I don't know. I'm really not in show business. I don't know. I don't follow it.
I do like Paul Giamatti.
Me too. Did you see his movie?
I did. Max and I and my son, who I want to talk about in a second, Max and I went and saw that film, The Holdovers. I found it lovely.
It's charming. If you want to see a movie with decent people, like families and grandmothers and intergenerational, it's a great movie for that. It doesn't have anything in it that you don't want to see with your grandparents.
I could have done without the atheist messaging, but I can't have everything in a movie, can I?
What category is this show in now? I'm wondering.
Christian
supernatural.
Christian and a Jew. Oh my goodness. No, I loved it. I thought it was lovely. So my son Max, as you know, is in choir at his college. He loves New Englandy snow. First cold open is like a choir scene. The choir singing, landscape shots of a snowy campus. And I turned to Max, I go, "We're 5 minutes in. I think this movie was made for you." He's like, "Uh-huh." So it was great.
Catcher in the Rye, mittens, hot cocoa, all of that.
Exactly. It's a great Christmas movie, actually. I think it'll go down as a nice new addition to the Christmas rota every year. It's really a well-done film in a lot of ways.
I agree. I had a great time. I saw it in the theater, too. Well, did you see? You must have seen it in the theater.
We did.
It
was weird, too. It's so funny. It was like we stepped back in time because the theater we had to go to where it was playing was a little off the beaten path. It was about a 40-minute drive for us because it was playing at kind of a smaller theater. And honestly, it really looked like someone had built a set of a theater from 1983 in a mall. It was untouched in like the best way. The signage was retro, but real retro. It was actually built in the early 80s. You could tell the theater seats were 80s. And then we sit down the movie and like the film quality, the sound was very 70s, early 80s, late 70s. The movie was set at that time. In the early 70s, I guess. So Max and I kept saying, did we step back in a time warp? It was an awesome experience, actually. It feels like we went back in time together for a night.
You got to take me to that theater. That sounds
great. It was great. It was a good vibe in there. A lot of teenagers working. It felt good. It's like, yeah, movie theaters are still alive, man. And we happen to be the only one in that theater for that movie, but you can tell the theater's doing well. She said, I asked one of the girls at the concession, she said, we were slammed over the holidays. So I'm like, great.
Yeah, I hear people are going to the movies. I hear people are wanting their physical media again, which makes me really happy. It's a good time. It's going to be an interesting year.
I'm always lobbying for physical media around here, but rarely get it. Tony, I wanted to talk about a story that was going to happen tonight. We were supposed to have a guest on this podcast.
Yeah, what happened here?
Well, he's the aforementioned son of mine, Max. I was going to have him join this call because something quite lovely has happened. And I wanted to thank you and credit you and talk about it publicly for a second, because what has happened is my son has gone off to college. And one of the things he has realized is he is becoming a blossoming cinephile. He is falling in love with film. In fact, he wants to make it his minor, potentially, film studies, which I think a few years ago I would have gone like, maybe it's business. But the older I get, I don't care about that stuff. I want him to be happy, and he's so smart. But he's going to major in English or literature, and I can see him actually, and who knows what the future holds for him, but I could see him, writing about film, for example. He's a tremendously talented writer, and the podcast we listen to, one of the podcasts that inspired this, is hosted by two professional writers, reviewers who write about film for a living. So who am I to say, well, Max, maybe you're in business. Who we got enough business people, right? So I'm really enjoying this love he has for films. So he actually asked me, would it be okay? He's all sheepish, He's like, would it be okay if I like sent Tony my list of what I thought of the films I've watched in school so far? I said, oh, Max, he trust me, like this is like asking, a gambler, like, hey, you want to just run down the casino and just maybe do some blackjack for a couple minutes? Right? So, and then you can finish the story. You guys had this great exchange, an email exchange where you reviewed the films. And I just wanted to thank you, first of all, for, doing it. He's thrilled. Like, he is so excited, and he's
It
falling in
was
love with film, and it's nice.
truly a pleasure, and as I was telling you, I was helping my mom with her dog. The family dog tore her ACL, which I
Oof.
didn't know dogs could do. She's gonna be fine. Had some surgery. It's no fun, but I was up there for like a week with like helping out, and there wasn't a lot to do. So this was a great opportunity and a great distraction, and I was totally honored he wanted to ask me anything. And I was quickly shamed by his interpretations of the films and the depth of to which he analyzed them.
Smart kid, yeah.
I think you're putting the money in the right place with this movie thing.
Yeah.
And the list, it was a great list, and it had some stuff I had never seen, a few things I hadn't heard of. So he's ahead of me on it. And it was shaming. It was both shaming and beautiful at the same time.
We have this cool thing now where I'm realizing, okay, Max, you haven't seen this. You haven't seen this. So I am trying to make him watch films that I feel like he should watch if he's a film guy, which he's becoming. And so I would love to know from you.
Cobra.
Don't think he watched that when he was like six?
Well, he had to. I don't think he had a lot of choice in six.
To this day, when we go to a supermarket, he grabs the microphone off the thing and says, maybe it's time to waste you. That's how he's raised. So I'd be interested if there's one or two films that come to your mind, like he has to watch the, not has to, but like I said, for example, like in modern times, I was thinking something like Jaws. He's never seen Jaws, and I'm like, you have to watch Jaws to speak
Yeah,
intelligently
no,
about modern film, right? I mean,
you have to see it.
yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, he has to see the big David Lean movies. He has to see, he has to see Lawrence of Arabia and Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yeah, okay.
He's got to get into John Ford movies. He has to
Yep.
see The Searchers. He has to see
All the big westerns.
Stagecoach,
Yeah.
I think. He has to see Howard Hawks movies. He has got to get to know some of the early classic directors. Probably would be fun for him. I
Yep.
mean, he has to see. Look, anybody can see what they want, but if he wants to start
No.
writing about the history of this stuff,
Yeah.
that's all. Those are
Yeah.
all great places for him to start if he hasn't already. If
Yep.
you haven't turned him on to Howard Hawks yet, shame on you.
I know there's the list is so exciting and big though. Like Jaws was on my list, has been on my list since the summer when he started kind of like, hey, I'm taking this course.
Dog Day Afternoon and
Yeah.
Serpico
Yep.
and Bullitt and
God, he's never seen Lethal
East
Weapon.
of Eden would be great. Like there's some classic great dramas that he'd probably like too.
Yep. And
This
then
could
even
go on forever. You've
yeah,
just
like
given
fun
me.
modern ones. I was thinking he hasn't seen Sixth Sense and he doesn't know anything about the twists. I said, don't look it up. I would love to get his reaction to that film.
I can't
Just
believe you
fun
haven't
stuff
shown him
like
The
that.
Sixth Sense. I can't
I
believe
know
that.
Signs. He's never seen Signs. So
What?
yeah, no, the list is endless. He was never into the movies as a kid. This is all new. This is like in
Okay.
the past year and a half.
Has he seen The Graduate, or
Nope.
maybe other college classics like that?
I don't think so. The only kind of big tentpole one he's not only, but Citizen Kane he's seen and written
Yeah, that was
about.
on the list. Yeah.
Anyway, this is a development I never could have dreamed would happen when I started this thing, that my film expert best buddy would be like kind of coaching up my son,
I ain't
you
no
know.
expert, but just the fact that he thought to ask me was very touching. And I'm sorry he wasn't able to come on the show, but I hope he
I
can
know
next time.
he was gonna then go. Oh, they're going to the movies.
All right, what are they
Him and his
seeing?
friends, they're going to see that new movie about the wrestling family, the Von Erichs, the Iron Claw, it's called, the true story of the irrepressible Von Erich brothers.
I like that, you didn't introduce him to signs, but you got him into
Yeah.
wrestling.
I think this is his friend's call. It's
Okay.
completely out of his genre, but
Okay.
it'll be interesting to see what he makes of it. He'll definitely be focused on the filmmaking. Like, he's learning all the buzz terms and everything. It's cool. So thank you for that, Tony. And we'll get him on the podcast one of these days, get his thoughts on the film, and that'd be
We have
fun.
to. Yeah,
Yeah,
we have
I
to
think
do that.
we gotta like get the new generation excited about film, man.
He seems pretty excited on his own. You didn't
Yeah.
help him.
No. No, as a matter of fact, I was praying that this would be a golf podcast and he'd be coming to you for golf advice and you're a golf professional. That's the way I thought it was gonna go.
Well, it's on you that you picked friends with as good at golf as I am.
Oh. He's got to see Caddyshack, edited version. Okay, here we go.
Get ready, P4Pers. The very best in paranormal film and television of 2023 is here. It's the third annual Tony and Matty Awards, starring Tony Arkin, Matty Blake, Sister Sledge, Reuben Kincaid himself, Dave Madden, Charo, an Osmond brother, not Donnie, Desi Arnaz Jr., Christy or Jimmy McNichol. Plus, how many categories before Maddie shoehorns in a Sly Stallone reference? Let's find out. It's the
third
annual Tony and Maddie's. Like a screaming sheen.
Jessica!
Or a Netflix zombie series.
Ah! Ah!
You'll want this to stop. And now your hosts, Tony and Maddie.
The films that we looked at in 2023 are as follows. And I'll go from the furthest to the most recent. In January, to kick off the year, we did Something in the Dirt. We then did Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the OG and the 78 version. By the way, our top three is one of my favorites of all time. We did top three top male perms in that episode. Then we did Monkey Shines with Dan Schachter, Puppy Bowl ref guest. We then did our own film, Pound Ridge, a short made by you, starring me. The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock was next on our list. Mathregan, as you called it, Megan, was next. Then we did a beautiful tribute to your father, along with The Omen 1 and 2. That ate up most of that month. We did Endangered Species with Robert Urich after that. Then we did a Halloween special. We covered our favorite films, favorite moments and stuff like that in scary movie history. We then did Evil Dead Rise, No One Will Save You, and finally, most recently, just a couple weeks ago, Talk to Me. So, of those choices in 2023, the categories are as follows. Like last year, we're going to do favorite scene, favorite line, our favorite shot, our favorite performance, and our favorite overall film. Tony, did you set any parameters? Did you have honorable mentions? How's it going to work? I bet you've got three subcategories of subcategories.
I have honorable mentions and I have plenty to talk about
okay.
on each of these things because I'm a blabbermouth.
Gotcha. I love it. Good. That's what we're here for.
My rules were I excluded our work. I thought to be a serious,
mm-hmm.
Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
Of best and favorite. Who needs to sit here and say that we liked our movie the best?
Yeah.
You're probably going to do that. And I'll eat these words and feel like I probably should have supported our work.
It shows up once in my honorable mentions.
Okay. Okay.
I did the same thing. I'm like, because
I wrestled with it.
It could honestly be the winner in every category because it's got some of my favorite lines of the year and
it
some of my favorite
definitely
shots.
Definitely has some killer moments that I found difficult to adhere to, to this. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to adhere to this.
Good man.
That was my only stipulation. I really tried to pick one. In one case, I have right now under best performance and best film, although I'm pretty sure where best performance lies. Best film, I really have it like a tie, and I'm trying to figure that out by the time we get there.
I won't accept that. Okay, so let's just dive right in. Our first category, Tony, the envelope, please. This is favorite scene for me. I'm going to open the envelope here. Okay, here we go. Of those movies we watched in 2023, my favorite scene is I'm going to go with the talk to me possession montage scene. I felt like this scene was incredible. This is the culmination of the friends experimenting with this possession game, touching the hand and becoming possessed. And I guess kind of the first act, it signals the end of the first act. It's dizzying. It's exhilarating. It's a music video of sorts of these teens being possessed. And it was the only time, Tony, in 2023, I think, where I felt really thrilled and really like I'm seeing something completely different here. I In the Dirt had a scene that came close to this for me, but this scene, from the music to the mix of comedy, horror, and you know, it pulled off a difficult trick for me, because not only was it new and fresh, as I said, but it also possessed, pun intended, a form of like that joyous moment that you have as a youth of having friends, and that thrill you get of experimenting and experiencing things together, even if it's a little dangerous, but simultaneously to have this like frenetic chaos, like trickster demons themselves. And you know, you're being tricked, you know, they're being tricked, and this is heading to a bad place. It's dripping in that dread, as joyous as it is, quote unquote. So that's a difficult thing to pull off. So when it arrives where you know it's going to end up, it pays off and still shocks you somehow. So I think this is an all-timer, and it was an easy decision for me. It leapt off the screen for me this year.
Just get your thought dog out and no cameras.
That's a great choice. I mean, that scene was great. I love that scene. It's not my top, but I honor that. My choice for best scene was the birthday party attack in The Birds. I can't get enough of it. I think it's just absolutely one of the standout moments in Hitchcock's entire career.
Yeah,
and it was just for complete utter, like, you know, cognitive dissonance and insanity. I don't think anything's matched it. It's just great. So I picked that.
Look! Hey, no touching allowed.
Oh. Help me get the children into the house. Here
Have they gone, Mitch?
I think so.
Is anyone hurt?
Well, Jenny got a scratch down her cheek, but it's nothing.
That makes three times.
Yeah, so what are the other scenes? What was the honorable mention for you?
Honorable mention, the one I kind of debated, it was either this one or the one I ended up choosing, Talk to Me, was the final scene in Body Snatchers. You know, Donald Sutherland screaming and her screaming back. I knew it was coming. I remembered that that's, of course, the famous ending, that face of his, but it's still like terrified and shocked me in a movie made in 1978. So, and made me sad, and gosh, you know, I was rooting for them and her and him. And so, boy, for it to still work like that, it's just holds up to the test of time. It's so good. And yeah, it was tough not to pick that one.
I had as my runner up from Talk to Me, but it was a different scene. It's the first seance scene. So that first seance scene, even I'm a huge fan of that party scene, but that first seance scene is so well done. And so there's so many different layers going on and so many different emotional things happening with the characters, and it progresses so well. It's very complicated what's going on.
Yeah.
I thought they handled it really, really well. It's really good.
Is there another, you had another honorable mention you had mentioned?
The Body Snatchers 56, the Sky Terrace Lounge scene where he takes her to the empty diner and they dance and he's going to go. It's a very subtle scene, but it's really one of my favorites from one of my favorite movies. And I think it's kind of way more complicated and layered than people know at first viewing. Yeah. I love that sequence.
Favorite line, Tony. This is a line of dialogue that jumped out at us this year. Why don't you take this one first?
All right. For me, again, I was wrestled and rustled, but I have to play politics now and figure out where to shuffle things around already.
Sure. Okay.
But I think I'm going to have to go with Talk to Me. There was a line from the one of the younger kids in it who says, I didn't do puberty right. And he's comparing his hand with Mia's hand. Like she's like, my hands are bigger than you. And he's like, yeah, I got stunted or whatever. And he has that line and he says it's so, with so much pathos. It's so vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it really stuck with me. So I didn't do puberty right. I just got to say is my favorite.
It's so great. And I resonated with someone who did not do puberty right either.
Right? Yeah, right. Exactly. I know. Me neither.
Favorite line of dialogue. I went with Evil Dead Rise. If you listen to that episode, you won't be surprised by what I chose, because in listening back to it, I made a huge meal out of it. It's the line of the year for me. And I don't know why. I guess it just speaks to my own personal ethos a lot. It's Beth stopping the siblings, her niece and nephew. Two siblings are fighting, Bridget and Danny, as their own mother is out possessed. And she stops them and she says, you don't turn on each other ever. And I was thinking, like, man, it's such a great line. It says a lot about what this movie's really about. As I said, it speaks to my personal kind of philosophy, like as the world is trying to get you, and literally and figuratively, unfortunately, sometimes it's a beautiful message that the people you love and care most deeply about, your crew, you're all you got. And it's a beautiful message. You can't turn on each other in the end. And yes, you have your little foibles and fights, but you have to stick together. And for me to have that feels moment in a movie where the demon mom is banging her head on the door, calling him titty sucking parasites, I'm like, that's a good trick they pulled. And that's good movie making. So easy choice for me.
Right on. It even come close to eeny meeny, but it's I know, a great line.
There's so many great lines in that movie.
Yeah, there are.
So I have an honorable mention for that also. My honorable mention line of the year is, you clinical cunt from Monkey Shines. Need I say more?
The C word came into play in a bunch of movies this season.
It really did. There were a few C words this year.
Yeah. Spicy.
In non-British movies, which makes it more spicy. Yeah.
You know what was hard for me? I had to wrestle with this one. This goes way back to the beginning of the season. But you remember there was a couple lines that we loved. One of them was, I was really into skateboard clothes, but my parole officer was against me being in fashion.
Yes.
And
that
then,
was in the dirt. Was that in the dirt?
In the dirt.
Yes.
Yeah. And then his line, they got lobsters the size of Danny DeVito, I thought was pretty great.
Yes. That movie had some great ones too.
It did. And I kind of wanted to just, say something about it, because it's not getting anywhere on the list else. But I kind of enjoyed that movie. It was kind of nice.
I really
to
did
revisit.
Too. It almost got on mine. Well, like I said, that there's a scene that was very intense there with what they did with the paranormal thing they were seeing that I almost put on. But yeah, let's talk about favorite shot. Now, this is more technical than favorite scene. This is just a shot, the camera that just spoke to us or jumped out at us. I will begin this, Tony.
Yes, sir.
It's the second appearance of a movie. It's one that I don't know why this gets me so, but it does, because there's other things even in this movie that are more famous shots, perhaps. But it's the birds, and it's Jessica Tandy immediately after she finds the neighbor Dan dead.
It's my runner now. It's my runner.
No way. I love it. I can see you nodding. Like, yeah. It's that hallway. It's so simple.
It's a Dutch angle on her.
Yeah, it's a Dutch angle, and it never moves. So she goes in. It's the same shot. It's a Dutch angle of the hallway. She's framed a certain way. She crosses the camera. She goes to the room. You see all that. Then when she leaves, it's the exact same setup. I venture to guess he didn't move the camera off whatever it was on. And she runs silently. And it's like, I think so many directors would have found a way to move that camera to try to, quote unquote, make it more dramatic. But it's perfection. It's like the silence, the framing, her run.
She's so good in it.
So good. It's so good. And every time that scene, I always have to watch that sequence like three times every time I watch it. I don't know what it is. It's so it's like a sequence. It's like a perfect cheeseburger. So I'm like, yeah, I'll go Kobe beef and Gouda every once in a while, but give me a big fat American cheese with bacon.
Dad, are you home?
It was hard not to include that sequence there too, because just that simple scene of her going to see her friend with the chickens and finding him with his eyes poked out.
Yep.
Oh, it's creepy as hell still. So yeah, that's my runner up. Awesome. My number one is going to come from Body Snatchers 56.
Yeah.
And it's the tunnel trench shot. It's just,
I predicted you might
blows
pick that.
My mind every time I see it. Wide angle shot. We're in the foreground. You see them climbing into a trench in this cave and pulling the boards over them like vampires in a coffin. And in the distance, you see the entire town coming, and like the 50 people running in the sunlight coming towards the entrance of this tunnel. And they come all the way through and they pull the board shut just as they come running over. I mean, it's fantastic. It must have taken them all day to set that up. And, yeah, I think that's my best. That's my personal favorite.
I went to sleep, Miles, and it happened.
Oh, Becky.
They were right.
I should never have left you.
Stop acting like a fool, Miles, and accept us.
No. Never.
He's in here! He's in here! Get him! Get him!
Runners up for you?
My runner up, this is where our own work, or rather the way I got away with this one, because it's not really specifically you and I's work, but maybe our friend David Carlson's work in a sense, because my favorite shot, and I just couldn't leave it off, is the tracking shot of you in Pound Ridge walking through the forest, tracking me. I just think like I'd put that shot up against anything that any big budget movie put out at any time. Like, it's so good. It says so much. There's character development there. You trip and fall, indicating you're a little rusty out there. I'm way out there and you kind of don't know what's going on. It's just so good in every way. The lighting, the sound, the tracking shot. I had to put it on. And then my other little honorable mention is, do you remember this in Mithrigan when she kills that boss guy, but she starts doing this weird dance before she kills him?
Yeah.
I just love that shot, man.
It's a good shot. That's what got you in to see the movie. That's what made everybody go see it. It's in the trailer, I think. Right?
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. That weird dance, never explained. It's just weird and kind of awesome.
That is kind of the only moment of genius in that movie. Yeah. And it's a little tiny moment of genius because it really is, I think, how insane AI would be.
Yeah, right. We just do stuff like that.
We'd like dance while it stabs you. I think that's totally normal.
How about your favorite shot? Honorable mention.
Honorable mention, I think, is going to be, well, it was the bird. It was the Dutch angle on Jessica Tandy.
My honor. Yes.
But I also had I want to mention Body Snatcher 78, which, I love that movie, but I got to say, it's not a movie that has gotten better as I've gotten older.
Hmm.
Unlike The Birds and Body Snatchers 56.
What do you think that's about?
What
would you attribute that to?
I think that it's it's not as deep a movie in a way.
Yeah.
I get maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or I just, that's just for me, but maybe that, when I start noticing things that don't work as well for me over the years, that's a sign. Like, I'm starting to just notice the creakiness of certain things about it. But I love it. That's the thing that surprised me. I love it. But it didn't show up here more than one shot where it's the head crush. It's when her head disintegrates in his hands and he's crying. I mean, that
phenomenal.
That is an incredible shot. And it's full of brilliant stuff. I don't mean to denigrate that movie.
No.
I love that movie, but it's just, the ending didn't work for me this time.
Yeah.
And we talked about that.
Very, very ending, or just kind of
the climax. The ending works.
Yes.
The very end, but the climax with him climbing around on the ropes and stuff.
Some of his physical work is like,
didn't like it.
The first one seems to have this like earnest charm to it. The second one, I guess, is a little too cool for school at times. Like, it's a little hip.
I think it's slightly less universal. It heavily relies on the fact that it kind of assumes you're a liberal like they are.
Well said,
Phil Kaufman is, and like they're and the world in that movie goes from already pretty bad to pretty like worse.
Right.
But it's so interesting in that first film to go from a perfect world.
Yeah.
It seems perfect to something terrifying. I just think that's just a cooler move for me.
Yeah, yeah. That's really well said.
It doesn't matter where politically you right. lie on it. It's a much more human story than this one, which seems to be much more about like hippies that were angry about the 60s being over.
You've hit on it. Like the first one, whatever messagings in the first one are like these universal deep themes about humanity, whereas the second one has that, but also has a little bit of like, well, the lesson we're also teaching you is that you suck because you voted for Nixon or whatever.
Yeah, or America is corrupt now or whatever. All of which I totally am on board with, but somehow I felt preached at by it a little bit maybe this time. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
great movie,
I hear you.
Still can we not, though, please, we can't leave out the shot that I wrestled with the most, because sometimes I'm like, good is bad and sometimes bad is good. It's like, is not the crotch yoga shot from Monkey Shines the best shot of the year?
Wait, his naked workout, you mean?
Yeah, the crotch yoga.
I almost put it in. Oh, crotch yoga.
It's nothing's been burned into my mind more graphically than that.
His naked workout was
just scooting on the rug while he's doing yoga.
That was a close tie with Robert Urich's shower naked and on the toilet.
Endangered species. Yes. Very similar universe.
Both of those are burned into my retinas.
Yeah. That move, by the way, is called the monkey shine. That yoga move.
As well it should be. Monkey Shines might show up again on this list. Now we're getting to the big ones here. Favorite performance. This is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to that end,
you know, I'm going to be subversive. I'm going to be really bold. I'm going to go with my heart, because my heart says Ella the Monkey is the best performance of the year.
It's my honorable mention.
Really?
I love it. I'm not, and I know you're not either, and I'm not either, like not even being
remotely. I'm not being funny. No, I know, me neither. I'm not being facetious.
Dude, like in a movie that, with that many, I would say, issues, like everything that's horrifying about it or touching about it or upsetting about it is the monkey reacting with people.
The monkey.
He's so good.
I mean, it's the most well-rounded character, the most depth of emotion. The most complicated emotions all came from that monkey. Honestly, not being facetious at all.
I literally looked him up. It was Boo 2 was the monkey's name.
Okay.
Boo the second. I guess it was a Boo 1. Boo had a long career, did a short film in 1996.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, when was Monkey Shines made? Like early 80s? Mid 80s?
I think so.
So yeah, like, that's a nice little run for Boo 2.
Good for Boo. That's great. Well, honestly, the two monkeys that made this performance and I know it was a performance made by a group of people, like every performance is, like Robert De Niro is, and his performance is edited by an editor and lit by a cinematographer and, you know, coached by a director. Really that different?
I completely agree with this. And again, dead serious. Like it is really, you got to see that movie to understand what we're saying. And, yeah.
So, okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page pretty much on that.
I literally, in fact, the only reason I didn't put him as my choice and put him honorable mention, Butu, is because I didn't think you would believe me that I was being dead serious in picking him.
This is how much I like that performance.
Yeah.
I just can't, you know.
I love it.
Look, where he turns and looks, and you're like, you can read his mind. You just know there's the passion in his performance is incredible.
There's like sadness and some touching moments.
Tragedy, despair. Oh my God, it's a total Jekyll and Hyde performance on top of everything else. He's a good monkey and a bad monkey. He's adorable and terrifying. Yes.
And when he and his owner turn on each other at the end, you know, the owner is kind of going like, I'm going to kill you and eat you and cut you out. And they cut back the monkey, and the evil look on the monkey's face transcends anything else done in the movie at that time. It was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Great stuff.
Yeah. It's really, truly great. That makes my night. I love it. I'm not handing him a statue, though.
I'm not afraid of Bella at all. Ella's it's Bella or Ella? Ella.
Ella.
The monkey in it, but Ella, it's Boo. Yeah. Boo too. I'm not scared of Boo too.
Boo's the actor's actual name.
If Pankow can hang out with the monkey, I can.
My man. This is the only one I cheated on, but it is our show. We can do what we want. I'm sorry, Tony. I cheated. It's not a tie, but I'm giving it to an ensemble cast, which is very Golden Globes of me.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to the cast of Evil Dead Rise because I can't separate the people trapped in the apartment together, as together they are what make this film so special. Alyssa Sutherland, Ellie, Lily Sullivan as Beth, Gabriel Eccles as Bridget, Nell Fisher as Cassie. I mean, there's not one false note. There's nothing over the top, just pain, fear, love, warmth, grit, total commitment. The commitment of these actors is total. And this movie completely won me over the longer it went on. Usually we've seen these films kind of fall apart, Tony, in the second half, where he got a lot of promise in this family unit. You go, all right, I'm believing this. And then the demon element comes, you just go, ugh, it lost itself. This movie builds, and everything they do right, and it keeps right the whole time. I give it to the whole cast of that film.
Yeah, that's really interesting because my runner-up is Alyssa Sutherland as Ellie in Evil Dead Rise.
She is.
I mean, I do love this whole cast. I agree. I think if there's an ensemble award, it would go. It would most likely go to that cast. I think they're really great. But just she was to me such a standout in terms of her physical abilities. Yeah. Her transformation is really extraordinary, and you've seen a lot of them at this point. Like, we've seen so many, and for one to stand out that vividly to me is really something. And it was really reliant on her rather than the special effects so much, or the makeup. I mean, what was really scary about that character was coming from her, the actor, I think, and they worked off of that, but they didn't, it wasn't scary because it was a creepy CGI or creature effects thing. It was creepy because she allowed herself to go there. And man, was I impressed. She's so good.
Absolutely agree. And an honorable mention that I forgot to mention, because I limited myself to one honorable mention because I was scared about us running for 4 hours on this in an award show. But that scene with the record player, talk about showing us something new, where she kind of uses that record player and speaks through it. Really just inventive, scary, interesting, funny, just great.
Awesome. Can I just give a little shout? Please. Okay, so there's runner up, then there's just a shout.
Yeah.
To my favorite person here, really, is Veronica Cartwright, because I love her in Body Snatcher 78 so much. She's always been a favorite of mine, and she plays Terrified so well. I wish there was more of her in the movie. I wish it gave her a little more to do, but I just wanted to mention her because she's
absolutely. So I remember when we did that movie, I was freaking out about one of her scenes. I forget now. I can't remember what, but we made it.
Yeah. I mean, topped maybe by her work in Alien, which is where she just shows terror like nobody's business.
Yeah, she does. Fantastic. Scared really well.
Yes.
All right. Well, Tony.
Best film. We're there at the bottom of the whole thing.
This one I'm struggling with too. As we've gone on this, I've waffled. I'm looking at my choice here and I'm waffling on it.
I'm going to pull the Band-Aid off and do it.
Do it. You said you're going to be the one torn over.
Well, I'm just going to try to be strong about this. Okay. This is very hard.
Be strong for both of us.
We've got my, I think my favorite Hitchcock movie, which is The Birds, going up against what I've said for years is one of my favorite movies ever made by anybody, which is Body Snatchers.
The original Body Snatchers. Let me just cross out my pick of Endangered Species.
Mithrigan. And watching, you know, it again for whatever, the 70th time and like analyzing it again, it just kept getting, you know, Snatchers just kept getting better. Birds keeps getting deeper too, admittedly. I just think the Body Snatchers is literally I think it's the most important myth of our time right now. Like it surpassed Frankenstein for being kind of the, you know, the modern myth of our age, to being like what I think represents us now more than almost anything.
Wow.
And it's really deep, I think. And I and so that's why it edged out The Birds, which I don't think is just, it doesn't impact me the same way quite. So it's just gonna be, I'm gonna be boring and go for Body
No,
Snatchers 56.
that's not boring at all. It's just because I assumed that's what you would pick doesn't mean it's boring. It means I know how
Just
much you
because
love
it's
that film.
tedious and been done doesn't mean
No,
it's boring.
I think it's wonderful. I love people who are committed to something and love something like that, have passion of something. My choices were runner up Evil Dead Rise. And what beat it for me was The Birds.
Okay.
I had
Wow.
such a phenomenal time watching that movie.
I'm so
Yeah.
glad you liked it that much this
Oh my
time.
God. Yeah. And I love Hitchcock, but I hadn't seen that. I hadn't sat down and watched The Birds. I don't know, maybe in since I was a teenager or something. And I was just like,
Oh,
wow.
isn't it cool beyond belief? Yeah,
When the
good.
birds
I'm
come out of
glad.
the freaking fireplace, I mean, just like it's just
Amazing.
on and on, the performances and the whole, I forgot about all that movie, the whole first more than half of the movie is a comedic romp in a way. And then
Yeah.
it gets into a spy movie in a weird sort of
Yeah.
way. It's just, and then
I
there's
you know,
so many things.
I was reading up on it, doing a little kind of like writing about The Birds, because I was so obsessed with it, and I've been obsessed with it. And it was so interesting because what's so cool about it is this weird fractured experience. Half of it is literally a rom-com.
Yeah.
The first half is
Yeah.
just a rom-com,
Yeah.
and the second half is an absolute nightmare. And
Yes.
they don't gradually go there. They just decide that it's going to turn into that. And that was all on purpose. The screenwriter was trying to figure out how to do it. And he said, I guess the first half has got to be like, you know, Cary Grant and you know, that's that vibe of him and, you know, Grace Kelly, meet cute. And then I don't know what to do. I don't know how the birds do this. So they're just going to arrive, and it's just going to become a completely different movie. And Hitch was like, I like that idea very much. So that wasn't
So
even
great.
Hitchcock's idea,
So
but
great.
yeah, it really is. It's very unhinging if you pay attention to it. You know, I can see where a modern audience might.
Yeah. You have to give into its pace. And I so did. And I loved it. I loved every second of it. I'm so glad we watched. The final thoughts, Tony, on the year. I felt like maybe our films the year before were overall a little stronger, perhaps. I'm looking at the list
I think
now.
so. I think
Yeah.
so.
Yeah.
And we did a few more too. I think this was a
We did.
slightly
We had a tough
leaner
year.
year.
Yeah, we were doing about like 2 a month on average, I can see here. But look, the highs were very high and the lows were hilariously low. Like I haven't had there were parts of Endangered Species that I laughed as hard as I did when we did the Kevin Bacon movie. You know what I mean? Like I was laughing that hard.
Yeah,
So
or for over Screamin' Sheen, you know, that
yeah,
the
there's a
old
kind of
days.
yeah, and Monkey Shines has some of that too. So it was a great year. I look forward to 24. Now, let's talk about as we move into 24. And by the way, please let us know your thoughts. Reach out to us. Let us know
Yeah,
your
definitely.
favorite film. Look through our 23 films again. Something in the Dirt, Invasion of the Body Snatchers 1 and 2, Monkey Shines, our own Pound Ridge, which is available on our social media. You can just hit play and watch it. The Birds, Megan, Tribute to Mr. Arkin and the Omens 1 and 2, Endangered Species, our Halloween special, Evil Dead Rise, No One Will Save You, Talk to Me. Let us know your favorite scenes. What did we miss? What did we forget? I guarantee someone's going to have something like, how did you leave this out? And we're going to like be wanting to re-record the whole thing, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure we've made a fool of ourselves.
So as we move into 24, though, Tony, let's talk about our first real analysis of 2024. What movie are we going to dive into? Our first voyage into 2024 is going to be a seafaring voyage. Tell us about this film.
So we're going to be covering the new film, the 2023 film, not exactly brand new, but pretty new, The Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Is this Dracula?
Yeah, this is like a travel documentary about Dracula getting over to England, I think.
Yes, I've spent the last 3 summers on boats, so let's keep it going. Happy 2024, Anthony.
You too, buddy. It's nice to be doing this on a regular basis. And
Yes.
I can't wait to chat with you next week about this new film.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody. Next week, Dracula Boat.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Rated P for Paranormal. Please rate, review, and share. It really does make a difference. On social media, we're at Rated Paranormal. All music is by Andrew Goldens Jr. You can find him on Instagram at Kid Riga or go to therocketscience.bandcamp.com. This podcast was created, written, produced, and edited by Maddie Blake and Anthony Arkin.
I would love to know from
Cobra.
You.
I'm really not in show business.